Have you ever tried to run away from something that God specifically wanted you to do? I want you to consider that question for just a moment. A lot of us would probably sit back and say, yeah, there was been a circumstance or a situation where God wanted me to do something and I didn't do it. So let me ask you a question. If you can answer that question by saying that you did try to run away, why was it that you ran from God? Yeah, and then I follow that question up with, how did that work out for you? Well, yeah, we know that we can't run from God. Today we're going to be looking at some passages in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. We're actually going to look at the whole chapter, verses 1 through 17. And I titled this message, Jonah and the Great Fish. Grab your Bible, come on back. We look forward to having you with us today. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you have chosen to join us today. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages out of the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Great, great story. Yeah, I led into our Bible study by asking the question, have you ever tried to run away from something that God wanted you to do? And then I followed it up with, how'd that work out for you? As we consider that, I know that a lot of people have probably said to you, if you find yourself in that situation, they probably said, well, it doesn't do any good to run away from God because you can't outrun God. No matter where you go, what you do, you're not going to be able to outrun God. So let's take a look at our passages in Jonah chapter 1 today, and let's get a hold on the story here and see how it relates not only in your life but in my life as well. Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down to the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who has made the sea and the dry land.' Verse 10, 'Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing more tempestuous. Verse 12, 'And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Verse 14, "Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that, Lord, you still use men and women to accomplish your will. Lord, today, as we consider our own lives, as we consider circumstances and situations that we may find ourselves in, and particularly, Lord, where we find that you have called us or asked us to do something, Lord, may we be obedient. May we go forward in the will and the way in which you prescribe in our lives. Lord, Father, may we not have to be taught lessons in the way that Jonah was taught this lesson. But Father, I pray that you will give us wisdom and insight today. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. And as your word has said, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say and what the Spirit tells each and every one of us as we will spend this time in your word. Lord, I pray that you would be high and lifted up and that you truly might draw all men and women unto you because they have taken the time to spend this time in your word. Lord, bless this your servant as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, folks. Now, today, as we're looking at the scriptures and our story, God called Jonah to go preach in a place called Nineveh. And it's really ironic that when you read the word, it says that Jonah got up, except the problem was he didn't go in the direction that God wanted him to go. He did not head towards Nineveh. He actually was going in quite the opposite direction. He rose up and he fled to Tarshish. Now, how many times in our lives has God said and called you by name and he says, this is what I want you to do. Here is what I want you to accomplish for me. And all the while we're sitting there going, oh, okay, no problem, Lord, I'll do that. And then we don't do it. We go in the complete opposite direction. Now, when we look at that particular verses 1-3 of our text, why do you think it was that Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord? And as you think about that, a lot of us know this. This is a story that we've learned from the time that we were children and in Bible school or Sunday school or what have you. We know the story of Jonah and the big fish that we often call a whale. We don't know that that's what it was, but the word calls it a big fish. Obviously, it was big enough to swallow a man whole. And people would sit back and say, well, why on earth would anybody even remotely think that they could flee from the presence of the Lord? Well, you know, you and I do the same thing in our present day. You know, for some odd reason, we think that we can go somewhere to get away from the Lord, but there's no mountain too high. There's no sea that is too deep. There's no valley so low that we can run away from God. It is not possible to flee from the Lord. It's just plain and simple. And yet that is exactly what Jonah was doing. Now, just a few seconds ago, I asked you a question. Why did you think that Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord? There's something that's very, very interesting about this particular story, and that is the fact that Jonah just flat out detested the Ninevites. He didn't like them. Yeah, he didn't want to go. You know, here's God's hand upon a man, and he says, I want you to go and go down to Nineveh because I want you to prophesy against them. And Jonah's like, I'm not doing it. That was essentially what he said. I'm not doing it. I can't stand those people in Nineveh, and because I can't stand them, there is no way on this planet that I'm going to go out there and preach repentance to them. Now, as we get into the story a little bit later on, there's a reason why that happens. I'm probably going to go ahead and fast forward it a little bit for you because what happens, and most of us know what took place, is that Jonah finally winds up going where he's supposed to go and preaching the gospel, and the people listened and the people repented. Now just hold that thought there for just a few minutes because I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in this particular story. But what happens is when Jonah is going in the wrong direction, when he's heading to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh, God caused something to happen to him. It says he went down to the ship, he paid the fare, and then all of a sudden something took place. We find that in verse 4 of our text. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. In other words, they're in a really, really bad storm, a storm that each and every person that was on that ship was thinking that their life was going to end. You know, talk about wrong place, wrong time. Think about the mariners, as they're called in this text. How did the mariners on the ship respond to this particular storm? If you continue reading down in verse 5, it says, "Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God." And if you'll notice, that's little g. Every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. Okay, so here you got a bunch of guys on this ship, and they're all crying out to their God, not the Almighty God, little g, and in the process of doing so, they're trying to do what they feel needs to be done to survive. They're throwing all the cargo out, trying to lighten the load of the ship so that it doesn't sink, and they all die. And then evidently somebody looked around and said, "You know what? There's somebody that's missing here. There was one of the people, one of the crew on this ship that was missing, and that was Jonah." Notice in the latter part of verse 5, it says, "But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep." So here are these guys up there scrambling for their lives, trying to do everything that they can. They realize that Jonah's missing. Somebody finally finds him, and he's all sacked out down in the very bottom of the ship. Now, why do you think that Jonah was able to sleep during the storm? Yeah, I mean, yeah, get that for a minute. You know, all the rest of these guys are freaking out for their lives. Well, verse 6 goes on and tells us, it says, "So the captain came to him," him being Jonah, "and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God.'" Now, this time it's with a capital G. "Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." You know, in other words, the captain's saying, "Look, man, you need to get up. It's all hands on deck. You need to begin to pray, cry to your God. Maybe, you know, he'll hear you. Maybe he will save you, and in doing so, he will save each and every one of us." Okay? Why was Jonah able to sleep during the storm? You know, I've really looked at that particular passage, and some would say, well, you know, everybody else was tossed to and fro. How could Jonah sleep in the midst of a time like that? Folks, I believe with all my heart that Jonah was suffering from some depression along the way. People that suffer depression will realize that when circumstances become overwhelming, oftentimes what it is they will be able to go to sleep. Now, I know some can't. Some have sleepless nights, but for the most part, a lot of people, when it comes down to depression, that's their way of escape. They just flat out go to sleep. So, you know, Jonah knows he's not doing the right thing. Jonah knows that he's heading in the wrong direction. And Jonah even knows, as our text tells us a little bit later on, that it was his fault that the storm was taking place and it was going on. Now, you know, what positive ways does God use the storms in our lives to accomplish His will in the lives of His children? I want you to think about those things for a moment, because each and every one of us have storms that come in our lives that happen. I know I've talked to people over my ministry tenure, as well as my life, who have sat back and said, just when it seems like everything is just most right with the world, then something else comes in and starts to create havoc and mayhem. But we need to look at the positive in the circumstances and situations and in the storms of our lives, because God is trying to accomplish something through them. And one of the things that we know is He is trying to accomplish His will in the lives of His children. So in the midst of those storms, the question is, are we looking for what it is that God is trying to tell us, or maybe show us, or maybe it's not us, maybe it's somebody around us that needs to hear or see how we're going to handle those storms in life? And then that begs the question, how are we handling the storms that happen in our lives? Are we learning from them, or are we too busy just, you know, fussing and griping about each and everything? You know, or are we truly saying, Lord, what are you trying to show me in the midst of the struggles? What is it that you're trying to teach me in this storm? Now, it's interesting that the mariners find out that Jonah was the reason for the problem. You know, he said he was. Let's go to verse 7 of our text. It says this. It says, and when they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So now, I mean, you picture these guys, they're trying everything to get by. Now it comes to their knowledge of this has to be caused by somebody. It's one, somebody in this ship has a problem that God is upset with them. And the way that they determined it was by casting lots, which was a common thing back in that day. And it says in verse 7 that the lot fell on Jonah, exactly where it was supposed to be. So then in verse 8, it says that they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? And then Jonah answers him in verse 9. He said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the real Lord, capital L, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. And he's basically telling them, he's saying, yeah, you guys are right. It's my fault. And all along, here's the thing you need to understand. Jonah knew the reason all along. You know, he knew the moment that he went to Tarshish instead of Nineveh that he was doing the wrong thing. He knew that when the storm came up, it was because of his disobedience. Okay. And then in verses 8 through 12, Jonah instructs the mariners to do something that would quiet the storm. And at verses 8 through 12, you know, he confesses. Jonah says, okay, guys, you got it. It's me. I'm the one. God is upset with me. If you want to save your life, if you want the waters to be still before you, then what you need to do is you just need to throw me overboard. You just need to cast me off the ship. Look with me, if you would, beginning with verse 8. It says, then they said to him, please tell us for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? Verse 9, so he said to them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid. Remember, he just told him that he feared the Lord. Verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? I love that particular sentence. How many times in our lives have we been in the middle of the storm? And when we finally get to the point where we confess, yep, I've messed up, and somebody looks at us and says, why have you done this? What on earth possessed you to go this route? What on earth caused you to do what you did to bring about whatever's going on in the situation? In this case, they're saying, why did you do this, Jonah? Why didn't you just do what you were supposed to do? The latter part of verse 10 says, for the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah told those men on the ship what the problem was. He said, well, God's angry with me because he told me to go to Nineveh. I didn't. I got on this boat heading to Tarshish. And they're like, man, what is the matter with you? Why have you done this thing? So they knew what it was. Then verse 11 says, then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? In other words, it's like, hey, we're getting ready to all die because of you. The lots told it. You've told us that it's your fault. What is it that we can do that we can be spared so that we don't have to take the punishment for you? We don't want to die. We're not the ones that messed up. And it says in the latter part of verse 11 that the sea was growing more tempestuous. Then verse 12, this is what Jonah told him. It says, and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now, I mean, you're hearing what's going on. Could you have imagined being one of the men on that ship and Jonah says, well, yeah, it's my fault, guys. What you need to do is you need to throw me overboard. And they're like, man, we don't want to do that. We don't want to kill somebody. If we throw you overboard, then essentially we're going to be guilty of murder. Man, that's just not the thing to do. So what happened? What did they do? Verse 13 actually says that nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. In other words, verse 13 tells us that these men did not want to throw Jonah overboard. They're like, oh man, let's just keep on trying. Let's just row harder. Let's just see if we can get to shore and do the best we can. Let's not resort to murder out here on the ship. And of course, verse 13 tells us that they were not able to do that. They could not overcome the seas, and the seas were actually getting even more tempestuous, as the word calls it. And then in verse 14, it comes time for a decision. Verse 14 says, therefore, they cried out to the Lord. Now they're crying out to the Lord. And I love how there's a change here. They're crying out to the Lord, God Almighty. They're crying out to Jonah's God. Notice that's the capital L in verse 14. It says, therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. And then verse 15 says what they did. After they said this prayer, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And I believe that was immediate. You know, they make a prayer. They said, Lord, look, don't kill us because of what he's done. Don't kill us because of his disobedience. And don't charge us. Don't hold it against us that we're getting ready to throw him overboard. You're the Lord. And then it says they picked Jonah up. They tossed him over into the sea, and immediately, the sea ceased from its raging. And I'm sure that those men were sitting there thinking, looks like we made the right decision in regard to this circumstance. But there was also something else that was on their mind. Verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Again, the proper Lord, the God Almighty, and took vows. In other words, God showed his presence in that circumstance and situation and spared him. Now, as you think about these things, what are some signs that Jonah may have been depressed? Well, we talked about one of them. It could have been the fact that he was down in the ship's hold and he was sleeping at the time. You know, it was almost that when he confessed to the guys that it was his fault, it seemed like it was nonchalant. It wasn't like he was trying to spare his own life. He's like, okay, guys, it's me. I'm the problem. If you throw me overboard, it'll all be over with. In other words, he was just sitting there going, okay, just go ahead and toss me, and when I die, you guys will all be okay. Now think about those things for a moment. What are some constructive ways for a believer to deal with sadness or depression? You know, one of the things that I have said many, many times is that one way to get out of sadness and depression is to begin to count your blessings. It's a good old hymn that that I grew up singing in church, and we still sing it today, called Count Your Blessings. You know, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Can we do that? When we get to that point of sadness and depression, can we begin to look at how God has blessed us and how God has taken care of us, and that so that that sadness and that depression may begin to start going away? Now, in this case of Jonah, I think one of the biggest things is he needs to get back on the right track. Yeah, he knew exactly where he was supposed to be going. And I believe that many of you watching today know exactly where God wants you to be, and you're not there. Well, the only thing that you can do is get up and start heading in the right direction, and you will see God's relief come upon you in the midst of your circumstance. The question is, are you willing to do that? What happened after Jonah? What happened to Jonah after he was cast in the sea? We see that in verses 13 through 17. It says that God created a big fish to come and swallow him up, and Jonah remained in the belly of this fish for 3 days and for 3 nights, okay? And as he did so, all of a sudden, I believe that Jonah had a change in attitude toward God. I mean, try to put yourself in Jonah's predicament. From the time that he was on the ship, from the time that he was running from God, all the way up to the point where the storm is there, Jonah knows without any shadow of a doubt that it's because, he is being disobedient to God. And then you know what happens? It's so ironic. Jonah's like, okay, just throw me overboard and it'll all be good. And then when he's thrown overboard, a big fish comes up and swallows him. I've said before, he got the first all air-conditioned submarine ride known to mankind. But for 3 days and 3 nights, he had some time to think about his situation, to think about his predicament in the belly of this great fish. Now, the thing about it is, he didn't know that he was going to be delivered. He didn't know that he wouldn't just die in the belly of this fish. How is it that when we're in the midst of those circumstances, are we allowing those things to change our attitude towards God? Jonah had a change of attitude towards God, okay? So let me ask you this question. Maybe you're going through a bad storm in your life right now. Is there a need for an attitude that you have in your heart to change concerning a specific area of God's will for your life. Remember, that's one of the things that we've looked for in our Bible studies. What is an attitude that I need to change? Well, right out of the gate, you could see that Jonah needed to change his attitude. You know, he was just kind of flippant and nonchalant. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he's like, okay. And went exactly the opposite direction. And God says, okay, since you don't seem to have a good direction, I'm going to give you a ride in the direction you're supposed to be going. We know that as these scriptures continue, it talks about the fact that what took place was this great fish went and it spit Jonah out on a shore. Alive, well, I still imagine what that would have been like to have seen that. Maybe this fish kind of swims up to the surf, and all of a sudden, here comes Jonah, and then Jonah comes walking down the beach. I mean, I think at that particular point, if a guy that just got spit up by a fish came to me and said, repent, I think I'd be repenting. I'd be like, this is different. This is something that's completely unusual. I believe that I would repent. Now, what was Jonah's problem? Jonah's problem was he was running from God, just like some of you are that are listening to this message today. Yeah. When we know that someone is running from God, what is it that we can do to help this person? See, some of you may not be the person who is running from God, but you may be the person who knows somebody who is running from God. What is it that we can do? How can we help them, and how can we pray for him or her during this particular type of situation? Well, one thing that we can do is we can share this particular story right here. If God wants you to do something, it doesn't matter what you think, see, feel, or believe. God will get you to where he is going to use you. Now, there were some other things that were going on, particularly in Jonah's life, and there's a lot that we can learn from this story about the power of God as well as the sovereignty of God. Now, what is God's sovereignty? That means God can do whatever he wants at any time that he wants to anybody that he wants to, and be justified in doing so. It's kind of interesting that we see that Jonah was in the belly of this great fish for 3 days and three nights. I want to carry you over to another passage. You don't have to turn there, but it's a passage over in Matthew chapter 12 in verse 40. But it says this. It says, now, for Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And what this is doing is this is referring to the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, so there's a correlation that you and I can see in those particular passages. The same amount of time that Jesus spent in the grave was the same amount of time that Jonah spent in the belly of this great fish. Now, you know, if God rules over the wind, the fish, and the grave, what reason do you and I have to question his will for our life? Now, I've said this before, that you know, there's often the time when God is trying to teach us something personally. Now, we know that if we go on and read the other chapters of the book of Jonah, we see what happened. I'm going to just kind of give that to you as we go forward. You know, Jonah was essentially spit out of the belly of the great fish. He went to Nineveh. He preached in Nineveh, and ironically enough, the scriptures tell us that the whole town repented. Could you imagine what that would be like? The whole town repented. If I was Jonah, I would be ecstatic. I mean, I'd be like, wow, man, God used me, to bring repentance to a whole town. But that's not the way Jonah looked at it. In fact, Jonah actually went out and pouted. It tells that he went out to the edge of the city. And when he prophesied against the city, he said, you all have 40 days to get your act together or God is going to whip up on you. Now, that's kind of my translation of that, but that's basically what he said. So what happened during that time, Jonah went out to the edge of town and he was pouting. Now, some of y'all know that. You've seen people in your life that pout. Maybe some of you have actually pouted yourself. But what he did was he got mad at God. He literally said, "Lord, I knew you were going to do that. I knew that if I was obedient and if I came here to Nineveh, these people I can't stand, and that if I preached to them, then they were going to repent." And essentially what Jonah was saying is, I didn't want them to repent. I want them to die a horrible, grotesque death because I don't like these people. Man, could you see the lesson that God wanted to teach Jonah? Remember what he did. It says that also, as we go through Jonah, it says that while he was out there, God caused this gourd to grow up and it provided shade for him so that he wasn't in the scorching heat of the day. And it says, but the same day, it says that he created a worm to come and eat the plant away. Jonah wanted to die out there. In other words, he hated the Ninevites so bad that he would rather die than see God do something incredible with them. And God actually spoke to him once again, and he said, "Jonah, look at you." He said, "You had more pity over a plant that you had nothing to do with. You didn't grow it, you didn't water it, and it provided shade for you. But you had more pity over that plant than my people of Nineveh, whom I created, whom I have nurtured, and I want to see them repent." Man, Jonah learned a very valuable lesson. He was still mad. I mean, I would think that as a preacher, if I went into a town and did a revival and the whole town repented, man, I would be joyous. I would love to see that. Man, I'd love to see what would happen after that, and all the folks that would follow in believers' baptism and would get plugged in and would start serving the Lord. Man, what a legacy that would be to leave. And that's exactly what happened. Jonah went into a town of people that he couldn't stand and that he hated. He preached the gospel, probably didn't preach his A game, and yet the whole town repented, and he was angry because of it. He was angry at God. He was angry at himself. He was angry at the whole world, and God taught him a lesson in the midst of that situation and that circumstance. What lesson is God trying to teach you and I today in the midst of the storms that you and I have to contend with? We need to pray for each other, that we will be fully obedient to God's will in our life. And let me make you this promise. God is showing you His will. Let's not be Jonah. Let's not go in the opposite direction of what God wants us to go. May we truly be obedient. May we learn the lessons that God wants to teach us in the circumstances, and along the way be used by Him in the lives of other people. See, that's a really cool part of this story. A lot of those people, in fact, it says the whole town repented. So God took a man that didn't even care about those people, used him to preach the gospel, used him that whole town might repent and come to know him and walk with him. And Jonah hated it. He couldn't stand it. You know, I think he had a problem with racism. He just didn't like the people of Nineveh. And God wasn't going to allow him to get away with it. And then at the same time, God taught Jonah a lesson, but he also used him in a mighty way to bring about his will. And God wants to do that in your life, and he wants to do that in my life today as we go forward. So can we pray that for each other this week? Can we pray that we will truly be fully obedient to God's will in our lives as he reveals it to us? You know, what a great, great story. I want to encourage you, if you didn't finish reading the other chapters, there's only a couple more chapters in the book of Jonah. Read those. Man, pretty phenomenal story as we go forward, and then see how it applies to our lives. I want to encourage each and every one of us to sit back and say, "Lord, you've taught me something today in and through your word. How can I apply it to my life, and how can I be obedient to you?" Can we pray that for each other this week as we go forward? Now, we're kind of finishing up the Old Testament. I want you to keep on reading that, but next week we're actually going to begin some of our studies in the book of Psalms. So your Bible readings for this week will be Psalm 1 through Psalm 5. Once again, that is Psalm 1 through Psalm 5. And next week we will discuss the blessed man from the book of Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Remember what we're going to pray for each other this week? That we would be fully obedient to God's will. Shall we pray together? Father, as we come to you now, we're so thankful for the examples that you give us in your word of Jonah. Lord, I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for the thought that he had and the hatred that he had for the people of Nineveh. But Lord, I'm grateful that your love was not going to allow him to get away with that. And I'm grateful, Father, that your love for the people of Nineveh that were despised by Jonah was so great that you were going to make sure that the gospel message was preached to them. Lord, I thank you that there was repentance along the way. And Lord, I pray, I don't know the complete outcome of what happened in Jonah's life afterwards, but I pray he learned a very valuable lesson, not only, Lord, in being obedient to you, but Lord, also I pray that he created in his heart a love for those that he had an outright hatred for. Lord, I pray that you will help us as we go forward. Help us, Father, to look and see in the middle of our storm where you're going to show up, because we know you're going to. Just like when Peter walked on the water, you were there in the midst. Lord, help us to find you in our storms. And Lord, help us to be honest enough to say that we're struggling in areas. But Lord, most of all, help us to be fully obedient to your will through the storms of our lives, that you might not only teach us something, but that you might use us for your honor, for your glory, that the kingdom's work may get done. So bless each and every one of us, Father and Lord, for each and every family that has taken the time to gather around your word today. May you give them an extra portion of your grace, and may you bless them tremendously for just having done so. Convict hearts, and Lord, give us the strength to follow any correction that you give us in light of your word. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Thank you again for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. If you do happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love for you to visit us for our Sunday services at 10:45. You can find us at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact us through our website that you see posted throughout this Bible study. The website is www.oakridgecbc.org, and we will try to answer any questions that we can. I hope and trust and pray that as you walk with the Lord, he will teach you obedience and teach you great things as you're obedient to him. May God bless you, and I pray you have a great, great week.